Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Father, thank you that we can speak to us, that we can speak to you as we pray. Please help us now as we look into who you are and why prayer is an absolutely brilliant thing we can do. And it's so simple for us to do as well. Please be with us this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on the top of your handout, you'll find a discussion question to talk around your tables. Someone comes to church and asks you if you could tell them what prayer is in a sentence. They're new to religious things, so they won't understand any of our normal jargon. What would you say to them? Have a chat about that for a couple of minutes. Okay, let's come back together. Not to put you on the spot or anything, but I think we will be doing a little bit of feedback, so quickly decide amongst yourselves who your spokesperson is going to be. Whoever's got the best or the funniest idea, I'm open to both. Shall we start with... Well, let's start with the lively table at the back. How does that sound?
Very lively, because I was told the last minute by Ruth, I'm a spokesperson.
Excellent.
What is prayer? We've got prayer that basically it's just us talking and listening to God.
Very good. Nice and simple. This table over here.
Something like two-way conversation with our creator, God.
Oh, I like that. Very, very good. This table over here.
Chatting with God, which is a two-way thing, of course.
Great. And then to the table that has three members of the clergy on it. No pressure whatsoever.
Talking to God was where we started and finished.
Okay, that's good.
Sometimes it might be sort of in desperation, mightn't it?
It might be.
They're crying.
Paul, the other word was Heaven's Father.
Okay.
To have a conversation with our Father.
Yeah.
Talking to God as if you think he cares about you.
Excellent. Yeah, so we're already developing a similar theme in that prayer is about talking, whether that's in our heads or out loud. Prayer is talking. A French theologian called John Calvin calls prayer the chief exercise of faith. It's how we exercise our faith and dependence. And an American theologian called Jonathan Edwards says that the prayer is the fuel of the Christian life. It is literally the air that we breathe. We suffocate without it. So it's a wonderful gift, but it's also the most neglected aspect of the Christian life, in my opinion, in my very small, humble opinion. It's the first thing out the window, isn't it, in a busy day? First thing that goes. I think every Christian has or is struggling with prayer. If you've never struggled with your prayer life, can you please come up and stand and do this talk instead of me? Because then you've got the secret that I don't have. For example, this is the second time I've run this particular course. And the first time I ran it was 5 years ago. So I went back over the notes and looking like, how's my prayer life gone since then? Well, it's not much better, being quite honest. It's had its own peaks and troughs, but I'm still struggling with prayer. But this isn't something for us to despair about. We're going to see amazing things about God and about prayer. But before we think about what prayer is, I thought it'd be good to think about what prayer isn't. Because it's always good to think about the negatives before we get to the positives. So there are lots of things that prayer isn't, but I've narrowed it down to four things. The first thing is prayer isn't duty. It isn't a dull chore that every Christian must do. Otherwise, bad things will happen to you in your life. That's not how God works. It's also, prayer is not something unique to Christianity. Every religion has some form of prayer. For example, Islam have 5 sets of prayer a day. Your average Muslim will pray probably 10 times as much as your average Christian. And even Buddhism, which doesn't believe in a particular divine being, makes use of a prayer wheel. And things like that. So prayer isn't duty. And also, prayer isn't magic. It's not a magic spell that's designed to give you an easy life. It isn't something you have to dress up for. And it isn't something you have to do facing a certain direction. So we've already talked about how Islam prays. They usually pray facing towards Mecca. Jews will pray facing Jerusalem. And actually, your average Christian in their corporate prayer life on a Sunday will actually be praying facing Jerusalem. Because every church building in this country is facing Jerusalem. There you go. Little fact if you didn't know that. There you go. And that's why when the architecture of a church, you're going higher and higher and higher because you're getting closer and closer and closer to Jerusalem. Interesting fact. There you go. But prayer isn't a magic ritual that we can use to make God answer us. And then the third thing prayer isn't. Prayer isn't my Amazon wish list. In other words, it's not just me listing all the things I want from God, and if I've been a good boy and done all the right things, he will give them to me, because God is not like Father Christmas. He's not a service provider for our wants. And the final thing, prayer isn't just for the pros. So obviously, one of the things we say on a Sunday morning is if you'd like to be prayed with or prayed for, there is space for you to do that at the back. And also, if you ask members of the clergy or other ministers or people at the front of church to pray for you, of course we are going to do that. But just because I've got this thing around my neck does not mean I've got a particular hotline to God compared to anybody else. Obviously, having this thing around my neck means certain things I do that other people don't do. But in terms of being a priest, every Christian is a priest. That is what the Bible says. We are the priesthood of all believers. Every believer can pray. One of the things my vicar in Winsford used to say is that even the tiniest, weakest whisper of prayer finds the ear of the God of all comfort. And that's a very beautiful thing. On Sunday, I was talking about my goddaughter. She's 2 years old. I had a fun job of driving her home on Thursday. And because I'm that cool, I had awesome cutlery blasting out of the window, because, you know, that's how I roll. And she's kind of babbling along, and then she put her hands together and said, "I love Jesus," and then started babbling away. God hears her prayer just as much as he hears mine. Even though I haven't got a clue what she's saying, she could literally just be talking about what she had for breakfast. I don't know. But God doesn't need professional words or phrases for us to say in order to hear and listen to our prayers. I don't know how many of you have been in that. When you go to a prayer meeting and you'll get somebody who, you know, their prayers are like literally works of poetry, and they will go on and on. They'll use all these big words, and it's like, it's beautiful to listen to. And the first thing you go is, "I'm not praying after that." It just pales in comparison. Thankfully, that is not how prayer works. So, now we've thought about what prayer isn't, let's think about what prayer is. So, I've got a basic working definition of prayer. The reason why it's called the curate's working definition of prayer is that means you can either take it or leave it. Because you can either go, "Oh, that's a nice idea, I don't agree with that." Or you can go, "Oh, the curate occasionally says things that are quite profound, I'll have that." Entirely up to you which way you go. So for me, prayer is a conversation with the God who loves me, asking him to do what he said he'll do. That's what I think the Bible is telling us about prayer, and we will unpack that as we go on. And thankfully, we all seem to be tuned to the same wavelength, because we've all been talking about how prayer is about talking. It is a conversation. So Jesus' disciples approach him one day and ask him to teach them to pray. It's on our handout, Luke 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say." Prayer is a conversation, but it's not just any conversation. Prayer is a reply to a conversation that God has started with us. Conversation implies speaking. Speaking implies relationship. We have a relationship with people we speak to, and the nature of the relationship will define how we speak and what we say. So how you talk to a work colleague or someone you stood next to in a shop queue is, I hope, completely different to how you would speak to a loved one or a close friend. You would know exactly what to say, what not to say, and how to say it. So prayer is replying to a conversation that God has started. So that implies that God has spoken to us. So on the handout, there are some verses from Hebrews chapter 1. If you can find them in your Bibles, have a chat round the tables and have a go at those three questions underneath. For the sake of time, I probably won't take any feedback from the tables this time round, but I trust that you've all had a fun time discussing what you've seen from Hebrews. So this passage and in other places helps us see that prayer is a conversation. It's replying to what God has already said to us and continues to say. In the past, God spoke through the prophets. If you wanted to know what God said, you listened to the prophet or you watched the prophet. One of the things the prophets would do, they would say things, but they would also do things as a picture of what God was going to do. So, for example, if you were, I think it's either Isaiah, I can't remember if it's Isaiah or Ezekiel who had to walk around for a year with no clothes on. It was one of them. Anyway, look it up later. Probably Isaiah. There you go. But the difference now, there we go, I shouldn't have thrown the naked story in, it always throws people. But anyway, now God speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The phrase last days, or words to that effect, is basically talking about the time between Jesus' resurrection and Jesus' return. So we are still in these last days. God speaks to us through his Son. John's gospel begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the full and final revelation of God. He shows us what God is like. He is the exact representation of God's being, Hebrews tells us. So when we pray, we carry on the conversation that God has started in Jesus. He has reached out and spoken to us through Jesus, written down in the Bible, made real in our hearts by his indwelling Spirit. So when we pray, we are replying to that. We are part of this relationship with God. So prayer is a conversation. As Tim Keller says at the bottom of the handout, prayer is a conversation God started with us in Jesus. So it's a conversation, and then over the page, it is a response. So the conversation that we have in prayer does depend on how much we know God. That informs the conversation. So if we're chatting to someone in church for the first time, there will be a lot of questions, won't they? Because we don't know that much about them. We don't quite know how we're going to relate to each other yet. But if we're chatting to firm friends or family members, other loved ones, the conversation is already founded on the long-standing relationship you have. You know what to say. You know what to avoid. You know how you'll come across if you say things in a particular way. So if prayer is a reply to God, how much more we know him will mark our prayer life. If we want to be better at praying, the first and best thing we can do is get to know God more. That is how we develop our prayer lives. We can know God truly because Jesus tells us and shows us what God the Father is like. We can't know everything about God because that is impossible, but we can know enough about God. Whether we're brand new Christians or we've trusted God for decades, we need to keep getting to know God better to help us pray, because that is what the difference is. So if I want to know what the view looks like from the top of Snowdonia, I could go on Google and look at a picture. That will tell me something about it, but I'm not going to know it properly unless I see it for myself. So to pray well isn't necessarily to buy the next big book saying, here are 10 new ways to pray and how that's going to make your life more amazing, or books to that effect. And even the best way to learn how to pray is not to come and listen to me. Actually, the best way is to see and experience God through the pages of the Bible. Because knowing God isn't just an academic exercise. Someone with a first-class honours degree in theology could still know nothing of God relationally. As we've seen in Luke's gospel, one of the best theologians in the Bible is the devil. He knows his Bible much better than I ever will, but he does not have a relationship with God. And that is the brilliant thing about prayer. We can do it because God has spoken to us first. He has made the first move. We are just talking back. So back in Luke 11, Jesus continues, "When you pray, say, Father." Now, we're very used to this because we say the Lord's Prayer in church every week. We're very used to saying, "Our Father who art in heaven," etc., etc., etc. But when Jesus first spoke these words, they were meant to be an incredible shock. Because prayer is a conversation based on a relationship, and that relationship is like a child with their father. That is the relationship we have with God. We can call him Father. And that is the foundation of prayer. It's the first thing Jesus says. When you pray, say, Father. Now, some people will find that sort of imagery quite hard, because some of us will not have had good relationships with our fathers. We may have had messed up relationships. Those of you at the men's breakfast will know that I do not have a good relationship with my dad at all. He isn't a good father. But for me, seeing God as Father is a help, not a hindrance, because I can look beyond my imperfect father and see my perfect father. But even if we've had brilliant relationships with our dads, we need to do the same thing. Even if we've had the best dad on the planet, we still need to look past their imperfections to see the perfection of God as Father. And there are plenty of other biblical pictures of God, which we may relate to more easily than the term Father. But the fact is, God is called Father in the Bible. He is called Father because he has a son. Jesus' first lesson on prayer is about who we're talking to. We are talking to God, the Father. And it is Jesus, the Son, who enables us to pray to our Father. So prayer is a conversation, prayer is a response, and finally, prayer is a gift. We can call God Father. The only person who can do that in the Bible first is Jesus, who is also God. He is God the Son. He calls God the Father all the time as he prays. So when we call God Father, we are saying that we have the same relationship with the Father as Jesus does. And that is mind-blowing. It is huge. It's so big, we can't see it. What Jesus achieves for us on the cross is nothing less than the same equal standing before God that he has. We don't become gods, but we are adopted into the same inheritance from Father to Son as Jesus has. If we can call God our Father, we can call the Son, Jesus, our brother. It is astoundingly brilliant. Christ the Son obeys his Father like a true son, and so brings us into relationship with the Father through his perfect obedience and his atoning death on the cross. Jesus brings us into communion with God, who is one God in three persons. God is a God of relationships because he has always existed as a perfect relationship of three divine persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. One God, one nature, one purpose, three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. If there was no Trinity, there actually wouldn't be any prayer, because God would not know how to relate if he does not experience that himself. So as much as Muslims will pray more times a day than we do, because they do not have a God who is Trinity, they do not have a God who knows how to relate, so their prayers, sadly, are going nowhere. Prayer expresses the relationship we have with God. gazing on the God who is one God in three persons through the Bible is what makes us pray. Christ clears the way for divine blessing to pour on us from the heavenly throne, because God is a good God who delights to give us gifts. We're adopted children, we're caught up into that mutual other person-centered love going on in God. And this relationship is made possible and is mediated by and through the work of the Spirit. So you'll notice on your handout some verses from Romans chapter 8. Why not turn to them, have a read through them, and have a little chat together about those. I think I've been a Christian now for about between 15 and 14 years. I don't know the exact date. And I've been reading and rereading Romans 8 for a long time, and I think I still don't quite get how big it is. I don't think we ever will, because it's absolutely magnificent, isn't it? You know, ABBA is not just the name of a 70s band, is it? Thank you, dear. Always good to get a laugh from the wife. It's a word in the Aramaic language that Jesus spoke that literally means father. It means daddy. It's incredibly intimate. Because of the Son, we can cry out to God in exactly the same way that he cries out to God. If I have an urgent problem, I can't just head down to 10 Downing Street, can I? I can't just open the door, knock on Boris Johnson's office and ask him for his help. I mean, we might question what he might do if I did that in the first place, but his security team, if they're any good, they'd either tackle me or shoot me before I got anywhere near him, you'd hope, in the nicest possible way. But even though we don't have that access to the most powerful man in our country, we have something better. Hence why on the handout is a picture of President JFK, President of the USA in the 60s. You'll notice he has a magnificent desk, which if I look at for too long, I covet enormously. But have you spotted what's going on underneath? That is his son in the most secure room on the planet at that time. His son could just come and play. Didn't have to pass a security check, didn't have to answer a series of questions, didn't have to dress up in a particular way. He could just go in. He had that intimate access that nobody else had. And one of the reasons I love that picture is because that reminds me of the relationship and the access I have to God as a Christian because of Jesus. We can talk to the one who calls the shots in the universe. We can talk to him as we are, and we can call him what Jesus does. And Romans 8, 26 to 28 are some of the most comforting words in the whole Bible, because they tell us we're not alone. Christ makes the purchase of eternal life for us, and the gift we receive is no less than the Spirit of God himself. What we are given in our regeneration is no less than the third person of the Trinity. God gives us himself to help us as we pray. I love these verses because, again, how many times have you either been to a prayer meeting or even something's happened? Something's happened, someone's given you some bad news, or something's happened and just, I have no idea what to pray. Not a clue. Or if you sit there and go, right, I know exactly what I'm going to pray, and then you start saying things, and you're like, I've got no idea what's going on here. We can speak to God because God is with us, helping us speak to him. We speak to God because of God, with the help of God. That is pretty mind-blowing. But isn't it good news that prayer is God the Holy Spirit bringing us into communion with the Father through the Son? When we don't know what to pray, the Spirit takes our mumbling words, translates them, changes them, don't know exactly how that happens, but God hears our prayer because he himself is the messenger of our prayer. It's pretty spectacular. So prayer is us expressing what is heavenly and earthly reality for every one of us as God's adopted children. As Tim Keller writes, prayer turns theology into experience. It makes what we believe real. It's a visible sign of what we've been saved for. Prayer is audible faith. It's the most natural response to God in the world. And it's a sign of our new life. So the question is, why don't we pray? If prayer is the biggest expression of our faith, and we never do it, we need to think to ourselves, why? Why am I not using this amazing gift? When Joe and I got married, some friends very kindly gave us a George Foreman multi-grill. Very, very nice thing. But the hilarious thing is, it stayed in its box. The last time I gave it this talk 5 years ago, it was still in its box. And do you know what? It is still in its box right now. Yeah. We've been married 10 years this year, and we've never opened the box. We've just never thought to.
That is true.
So even more ridiculous than not using your brand new George Foreman multi-grill, which is probably never going to work. No. Even more ridiculous than that is we have this amazing gift from God, but we just don't use it. That is something that constantly strikes me. A British theologian called Mike Reeves writes that prayerlessness is practical atheism. Very strong, very cutting, isn't it? And I don't think he's trying to make us feel guilty. I think he's just stating, if we don't pray, what does that do to what we actually think God is doing or not doing in the world? But that is more about next week. Next week we're going to be thinking why we can pray and various reasons why we don't pray. But I hope the big takeaway thing from tonight is that to see what prayer is, the best thing we can do is look again at who God is. That is the starting point for prayer. We know that God is one God. He is Father, Son, and Spirit. We are in perfect relationship with him. He has spoken to us. He does all the work. All we do is talk back. So that's pretty much everything I've got to say. At this point, I should have said at the beginning that these talks are being recorded.